Today on the Travel and Entertainment Guys.
In the travel news, Alaska updates its animals on board policy, and Marriott combines its rewards program with Starwood. Updates on both stories coming up.
At 3:20, Steve LaRosa updates what's going on featuring the local film festival and local filmmaker Matt Dearborn. He's a Steve special guest. You're going to enjoy this.
I'm joining you live from Oklahoma City as we wrap up a journey on the original Route 66. Meet some of the people along the road at 3:35.
It's 3 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon. Thank you for taking time to join us. The latest edition of The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
Welcome, my friends, to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And follow along. We'll have links to what we talk about at TravelGuysRadio.com. I'm in studio here in Sacramento, and as we mentioned last week, Mark was out on the road, the mother road, as he calls it, Mother Road of America, Route 66, with some Sports Leisure and Vacationers. Mark, I guess you're kind of at the end of the road for this particular trip in Oklahoma City, isn't that right?
We are. Just about, we're day 10 of an 11-day journey, and a lot of people would probably say, well, 11 days traveling, it's just like a giant road trip. I mean, we've had a great time. The weather hasn't been particularly kind to us, but it's been a little chilly, but it hasn't dampened our enthusiasm. And we have just looked at as many old, non-traditional roadside attractions and met some really wonderful people. It has been, I would like to think that for the folks who are out here with us, 22 in our group, that they have, that the trip has been what they hoped it would be. And we're coming back to do the second half of Route 66 in late October from Oklahoma City to Santa Monica. So we're bringing, I think 25 people, have 4 seats available. So if somebody's out there would like to make, I would really consider this the ultimate American road trip, a trip on Route 66.
Well, coming up after the news at the bottom of the hour, Mark has gathered a couple of great interviews on the road, people that, make Route 66 what it really is. And Mark and I have talked a lot about it. And, you know, Mark, you always bring up that it's not just about the stuff you see along the road, but the people that you meet and the stories that you get to hear. And so
the people. Yeah, go ahead. People, Tom, who, yeah, no, the folks who, especially younger folks who have really turned travel upside down by saying, you know, experience it now, go now, meet the people, experience the places. And so really and truly, I think that applies to wonderful new just discovered attractions and old highways with pavement from the 1920s and old service stations and the things that used to be. Some of them aren't around anymore, but some of them have gotten better with age, kind of like a fine wine.
Well, there you go. Well, that's coming up after the 35. We're going to dig into Route 66 a little bit further, but as we always do at the top of every Travel Guys radio program, we bring you up to date on what's going on in the travel news. Mark, what you got for us today?
Well, Tom, we mentioned in the headlines that Alaska Airlines has joined the side of airlines who are telling folks with emotional support animals that you're going to have to jump through a lot more hoops if you plan to bring your animal on board the plane. Alaska says this new policy does not apply to traditional service animals. Quoting Alaska's Director of Customer Advocacy, Ray Prentice, Alaska is committed to providing accessible services to guests with disabilities and ensuring a safe environment for all flyers. years. We are making these changes now based on a number of recent incidents where the inappropriate behavior of emotional support animals has impacted and even injured our employees, other guests, and service animals. He continued, most animals cause no problems. However, over the last few years, particularly in recent months, we have observed a steady increase in incidents from animals who haven't been adequately trained to behave in a busy airport setting or on a plane, which has prompted us to strengthen our policy. So we're seeing more airlines decide that if you want to bring your non-service animal on the plane, you're going to have to prove that this animal has been trained and can behave well and isn't using the carpet in the boarding area for its own personal restroom facilities, as we have seen with some of the things. So kudos to Alaska Airlines for stepping in with everybody else. And we also mentioned in the headlines, Tom, about the Marriott Rewards program. They, of course, have just completed last year a big merger with Starwood, with the Sheraton-type properties. And this week, we found out how the points programs are going to shape up. You're a big Starwood man, right, Mr. Romano? You probably got this notice in your email.
I did. I got the notice. It took me a little while of digging around and reading to kind of try to get a bead on what it is that they're talking about. They're changing the point values. What's happening primarily is the number of points that you accumulate for spending dollars at a Starwood or Marriott property is going up. So you're going to get more points. But as you probably discovered, the value points between Marriott and Starwood just look different. You know, one might say you need 7,000 points for a one night to 7 to 30, depending on the quality of hotel you're staying, points. But then if you switch over to Marriott, I mean, they add an extra zero to everything that they do. And now it's 70,000 to 300,000, and they're trying to get the point thing somewhat in line.
Well, what's happened, Tom, is that your Starwood folks for many, many years have had the best program. It was the most honest program. It was the best run, and it involved a lower number of points. You earned fewer points, but you paid fewer points for things. Many of the programs over the years have discovered that one way to give the illusion that you are getting more benefits is to give you more points. And this is exactly what Marriott has done here. They're telling everybody, well, you're going to get more points. You Starwood people now, you're going to get a lot more points. And you Marriott people, you're going to have better classifications and categories, and you're going to get more points. So what do you suppose is going to happen when a Marriott guy comes out and said, and he said this in the press releases, he said that it's going to have more value for all of the Marriott and Starwood people, and they're promising their hotels a 20% reduction in the cost of the program. So I'm going to ask you, Tom, how do you suppose they're going to give people more points and save the people in the hotels money?
Yeah, I'll give you more points.
I'm going to suggest you.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's going to cost you a lot more points to redeem things.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so Marriott has created a new higher level redemption, a new Category 8. Previously, their chart only went to 7. The new category, the old chart topped out at 60,000 points. The new chart will top out at 85,000, and you can bet that some hotels are going to be changing categories. There is a huge devaluation going on here. I don't care what you read in your Marriott or your Starwood flowery press release that they sent you online, unless the only people who are truly benefiting in this are the people who stay at Marriott and Starwood hotels 50 nights a year or more.
Well, that's
if
not
you
me.
Hit that level, if you hit that level, then they're going to be very kind to you. If you don't hit that level, then some of the benefits that you previously had on a lower level are probably going to disappear. That's where that 20% savings comes in. So if you're a Marriott or Starwood person and you're interested in the points program, go to the websites and take a look and figure it out. When the points start rolling in, why be careful? It is a regular occurrence with these hotel programs when they devalue to come out and tell you how wonderful the program is going to be. We're going to give you more points, and isn't this going to be wonderful? And then the devaluation kind of comes in a stealth move later on and gets ignored by most people. That will come in August. You can bet it won't be ignored by the travel guys.
Well, you can, the Starwoods SPG people, it's been consistently the same for, I don't know, 8 years, and without any changes to speak of. So it's really going to be a shocker to us. I got an email from Starwoods that said, good news, Marriott International recently announced that beginning August 2018, its loyalty brands, Marriott Rewards, SPG, and the Ritz-Carlton Rewards, will come together as one powerful program. For now, individual program names will stay the same until 2019, but everything else will be consolidated. So good news.
Everything is completely wonderful. And if you're a Marriott or a Starwood person, practically they're going to send packages of money to your front door.
Absolutely. I can
That's what you would That's what you would think if you read that. Well, anyway, enough of that. Just be careful, and we will try to keep you posted as your points turn into nothing. Remember that the best wisdom that we can give you, points, miles, etc., spend them as quickly as you can. They will never be worth as much as they are today. Tom, did you hear about Sun Country, the kind of charter-ish airline from Minneapolis? They were ending their seasonal Mexico service, and they had a bunch of folks down in Mexico from Minneapolis. And they had snowstorms in Minneapolis, so they couldn't operate the flights to go down. And, you know, they had to cancel some flights, and it was the end of the season. So they just told the people who were down there that you'll just have to find your own way home. It was just one of those things where it's like, I'm sorry, we've canceled the flights, and we're not coming to get you.
Oh, boy.
So anyway, Sun Country has received, as you might suspect, a lot of a pushback from stranding about 250 passengers in Cabo San Lucas and Mazatlan. So they decided to refund the flyers' fares, if whatever they have to pay to get home, cover the travel costs, and because they got a lot, as you might well imagine, of bad public relations over that. Speaking of airlines with bad public relations, Allegiant Air had a big expose on 60 Minutes last week. They fly out of Stockton once a week to San Diego, twice a week to Phoenix, and three or four times a week to Las Vegas. Imagine this, Tom. You fly with Allegiant to San Diego. Your flight coming back gets canceled for some reason. You can't fly from San Diego on Allegiant Airlines to Stockton for another week. Keep that in mind. All the word about bad airplanes and the accidents they've had and the problems that they've had, but even the fact that the flights are not that frequent probably would be enough to keep you off of their planes. Sacramento International Airport is touting that they can take you to more places nonstop than ever before. Of course, the nonstop on Air Canada to Vancouver starts back up on May the 17th. They have had customer flyer growth at our airport for 48 consecutive months, which is pretty pickin' amazing. They should be pretty proud of that. And that is your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys. Once again, follow along at travelguysradio.com. And Mark, keep your ear to the ground. I've got to know when Southwest is going to start flying to Hawaii. And they indicated they were going to announce it in the spring. And I think spring is just about sprung. So
you got it.
We'll
stay on top of it.
All right. Okay, coming up next, Steve LaRosa joins us. It's What's Going On Around Town, special interview on the Sacramento Music Festival, Film Festival. All that's next here on The Travel Guy. Well, this is close, but it's time for What's Going On with Steve. Steve, welcome to the Travel Guys. You got some good stuff, a lot of stuff going on around town. Let's bring folks up to date.
Yeah, it's great to be back. I think we got about a half dozen stops today, Tom. Starting off with, we're going to Woodland.
Woodland, here we go.
Flying into Woodland International Airport for the Woodland Celtic Games and Festival.
I always thought it looked like Celtic, too, but it's with it Celtic.
Well, then you get the Boston Celtics.
So right.
It's always very confusing to me.
Right.
That's going to be Saturday and Sunday, April 28th from 8:30 to 6 p.m. and the 29th from 9 to 5. And, Tom, this is going to be at the Yolo County Fairgrounds in Woodland. And they'll be featuring the Caber Toss, which I know you're very accomplished at.
Now, is the Caber Toss, is that the one with the pole?
Yeah.
Okay, where it looks like you got to
you got a telephone pole in your hands,
yeah.
and you run and you throw it.
Now, I'm very accomplished at the caper toss.
Yes, capers. The little tiny guys.
They also have Highland dancing, piping and drumming, and historic groups and entertainers and vendors. I guess this year there's going to be a lot of exciting new things like Irish step dancing and darts. Darts, the most dangerous of all outdoor sports, darts.
Yes.
I've heard. Anyway, information at Woodland Celtic or Celtic. I'm going to say woodlandcelticgames.org. You know, I'm from Boston, so I'm always getting those.
There you go. And so you'll know, anybody that is driving and can't write this down, if you go to travelguysradio.com, we'll have links to that website and all of the ones that we talk about here on the program. Moving on.
Next stop is Hayward.
And what's in Hayward?
It's the Ukulele Festival of Northern California.
Wait a minute. It's pronounced ukulele.
And Tom, how do you know that?
I was corrected. We had an interview with Jake Shimbabakuru. Now, Jake is the Jimi Hendrix of the ukulele.
He lights it on fire after
every performance. Oh, man, I tell you, he does. He lights it on fire while playing it. And Jake played recently or is about to at the Crest Theater downtown. And this is something that would seriously be right up his alley. He is phenomenal. And when we interviewed, all my life I had called it a ukulele. It's actually pronounced ukulele. And there's actually an ukulele festival coming to town to the James Logan High School Center. Tell me more.
It's actually in Hayward, Tom.
Hayward.
You corrected me on ukulele. Now I'm correcting you on the location. Okay. It's Sunday, April 29th, 9 to 5, and it's at the James Logan High School Center for the Performing Arts at 1800 H Street in Hayward. And the ukulele festival draws fans from all over North America, Tom. Dozens of bands and solo performers hit the stage to play catchy tunes. Ukulele Festival is known as the longest running event of its kind in this country.
That's amazing. A lot of people will think of ukuleles and Hawaiian music, but Jake plays, he plays Jimi Hendrix, fuzz tone, solid rock music on his ukulele. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I think I've seen video of him before. Okay, we're back to the studio now.
It's time for the Sacramento International Film Festival, and we took a few minutes this past week, Steve and I did, and sat down with a local filmmaker, we're going to bring you that interview now. Hey there, Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, here with Steve LaRosa, our What's Going On Around Town guy. Steve, tell us who's joining us today on the phone.
Yeah, Tom, our guest today is Matt Dearborn. He's a local product. He went to Davis High School and CSU Sacramento, where he graduated in journalism. Matt is a highly successful writer, producer, director. Some of his projects included Beverly Hills 90210, Alfred Hitchcock Presents, a series called Even Stevens, where Matt actually discovered a young Shia LaBeouf. And Matt is going to be in town, actually next weekend, because he's premiering his short film, which is entitled Bubbled, at the Sacramento International Film Festival.
And Matt, I remember you from Sacramento, and what was it like starting out here in town?
Well, it was a great training ground. It was essentially like being sent to the world's greatest film school. I spent a lot of time after I got out of Sac State just gripping production assistant, lights, sound, assistant cameraman, basically doing every single position you could do on a movie set. We were doing car commercials and industrials and all those kind of things. So it was actually great. You were sort of forced to just try a little bit of everything, which I think over time served me well.
And that experience led him to all his success in Los Angeles. And now Matt is returning to Sacramento to screen his short film, Bubble. And Matt, tell us about Bubble, what it's about, and why you made it.
Okay, it's a sort of a modern Sirtis love story about two people that basically find an attraction to each other that starts over social media, something like an Instagram sort of knockoff application. And it sort of came about because of my fascination with this idea that people are curating their lifestyles, and sort of like people do in regular dating, they put their best foot forward on social media, and then you sort of find out what the person's really like over time. And a lot of times those two personas don't necessarily line up exactly. The project started, I hadn't shot anything in a while, and as a writer in Hollywood, you know, sometimes you can always be working and making a living, but unless you're actually filming something, it can be somewhat of an empty experience. So I was hanging out with some actor friends of mine, and it just sort of grew out of a collaboration.
Matt, you know, Sacramento is becoming its own little film capital, if you will. Well, what are your goals for the future, and do you see yourself doing some more films out of the Sacramento area?
That's kind of the direction I'm headed in. I just feel like there's so much opportunity there. I mean, you drive around Sacramento, Woodland, Yolo County, and it just feels like a very production-friendly place, as well as the film community. There's Martin and I from the Sacramento Film Festival, and I know also I have a lot of buddies that still live in that area. We're great, super talented artists, Steve Holzapfel, Mark Herzig, Landy Hardy, and it'd be great to get back in business with them.
Following in the footsteps of Greta Gerwig, he is my old buddy, Matt Dearborn. So, Matt, we want to let the folks that are listening. Your film is entitled Bubble. It's going to be screened during the Sacramento International Film Fest, which takes place this weekend and next. Matt's film will be screening on Saturday, April 28th at the Delta King in Old Sacramento. And that's the old paddle wheeler. And it actually screens between 5 and 6:30 p.m. And the reason we can't pinpoint the time, Tom, is because Matt's going to be bundled in there with a handful of other short films. And you can get tickets at brownpapertickets.com. That's brownpapertickets.com.
And we'll have a link to brownpapertickets.com as well as the Sacramento International Film Festival and all the details about it, and you know, a list of the screenings and locations at the Travel Guys website. That's travelguysradio.com. Matt, thanks for taking some time out of your day to spend time with the Travel and Entertainment Guys, and we wish you the absolute best of luck.
It was my pleasure entirely. It's good to run into you guys again. Steve, always a pleasure. I don't know if your people know this, but I used to get you coffee. That was like my first, you were the first celebrity I've ever met. And I was so turned on, like feeling like, wow, I hope all famous people are as nice as Steve LaRosa.
And you know, Tom, the way he handled that coffee, I knew that this kid was going on to great things.
All right. Thanks, Matt. Great close.
Bye-bye.
And really looking forward to Bubble. You stay well. Bye for now.
Okay, Tom, a quick wrap up here. The quick round robin tomorrow night at 8 p.m. at the Crest. It's folk rocker Gordon Lightfoot. Then the next night at the Crest, Tuesday, 7:30, it's bluesman Robert Cray. And Thursday and Friday at the Crest, it's country singer Dwight Yoakam, 7:30 both nights. And tickets, Tom?
At travelguysradio.com.
In my mind, I'm gone to Carolina.
It's always cheaper when you go places in your mind than actually having to buy tickets and, you know, rent cars and go there. Mark, you got any virtual sports leisure vacations trips up your sleeve yet?
No. They all cost money, Tom. That's a great idea, though. Virtual reality is making some aspects of travel available to people from their living room and enhancing others. Some people at attractions and stuff are using virtual reality to enhance visitor experience. How's that for a corporate line?
There you go. Mark is on the road to Route 66 in Oklahoma City at the very end of what you refer to as the eastern portion of the Mother Road.
Yep, that's it. And you know, Tom, traveling this old highway is an attitude. I mean, you have to be somebody who enjoys a road trip and who likes to meet people and somebody who stands there and says, you know, what's over that hill over there? So I sat down with John Weiss,
who has been guiding folks down a stretch of old Route 66 in Illinois for a couple of decades.
So, John, tell me, this is all called a red carpet corridor, and you were telling us about the red, white, and blue, but you've been doing this for a while. How did you get involved in Route 66?
You know, I ran across a fellow by the name of Bob Waldmeyer, and you may have heard of his father who invented the corn dog on a stick called the cozy dog, and you call him a corn dog. And he got me involved. He said, we're starting an organization here in Illinois, the Route 66 Association. It sounded kind of good to me because I like convertibles, and I like small towns, and I like back roads, and it just seemed to fit with me. And I fell right into it. And I've been involved ever since, and that's been pretty close to 27 years now that I've been doing this. And throughout the years, I've done a lot of preservation work, only because, again, I like history. In the beginning, people said, well, you shouldn't do that. People like to take pictures of these old buildings and stuff. But logic said to me, eventually they're going to fall apart and we'll have nothing. So we formed a preservation group and started saving them without trying to change them, just to keep them looking as old and as authentic as can be, but still reinforcing them. So that's been our hobby. It worked.
Now, we're here in the on this stretch of road, which basically starts in Chicago. The old highway starts in Chicago. And as you come out of Chicago and you go through Joliet, you're going to hit a series of small towns with authentic pieces of the old highway. So if you were going to travel the old road for one day, this would be the stretch to travel. I'm just telling you. John, you've done an amazing job of kind of rallying these folks around these different small communities have all put themselves on the Route 66. Map. Tell me, how did that come about, and how is it going as it goes on today?
Let's face it, you take a small town, they may have a nice little attraction, but nobody's going to come from halfway around the world to see that little attraction, a mill or an old gas station. Or if you're going by there, you're going to stop. But that's not what's going to make you come to that area. So at the same time, we realize that we've got 13 towns in a row here, and each one has a great little attraction. Well, if we package that like a shopping center, now we have a destination within itself. So we start calling it the Red Carpet Corridor. And it's 90 miles, 100 miles, somewhere in there, and runs from Joliet to basically Bloomington. We can call it Joliet to Towanda, 90 miles of adventure. And each town has their own little thing they're proud of. Now, this has gone over quite well. So people visiting Chicago can easily do a 90-mile stretch to see small town America, to see the mom and pop places, to get fresh pie and barbecue and fried chicken and all these other things that you relate to for being on the road. As a result, though, each town has prospered and they start building up more and more, bringing out some more and more of the things that they feel is important to the public. And we've helped them along the way. And they say that Route 66 in Illinois is now the number two tourist attraction in the state.
Wow, that is so incredible. It seems to me like as we get further away from the heyday of Route 66, we get fewer people. There's not a whole lot of technology necessarily involved in Route 66. How is the old highway going to attract the millennials? You're out here all the time with people. Do you see the young people being interested in the road? And if so, what do you see them being interested in?
Unfortunately, we don't see as much of that, you know, with the smartphones and stuff. They don't understand that a lot of these kids, they say, well, I can just dial it up and they get a picture of it. But they're missing.
Yeah, you have to have the feel of being here.
The sight, sound, smell, touch. You've got to be there. You've got to stand where others stood before you. And that's what they don't understand. And that has to be, I call it our next message. So we have to try and draw them. Years ago when we started this, you didn't have your smartphones. You didn't have these things. We had to present it to them. But now it's becoming actually a problem. Now we see young people, but from other countries. The locals around here are not the kids. They just don't get it. Oh, there's some, of course, but not enough to keep it going. Once we get older, we've got to find a way. So I say right now that's what we have to do. Find a way to draw interest and get them off the phone and get their feet planted in each one of these places.
It's really amazing, John, because as you go down the old highway, and of course we're going all the way to Oklahoma City, but just in this little stretch, this little 100-mile stretch from Chicago that we've done in the last day and a half, You mentioned gift shops and places to eat, and there's a million places to stop. We're here at the Palm Cafe in Atlanta, where we just had some of the best road food that I can remember in a long time. And this is not the first place we've stopped where we've had wonderful food. All the folks on the tour are commenting about the attitude of the people, how friendly everyone is, and how this feels like a small town. So if your idea of a road trip is going to San Francisco, maybe your idea of a road trip should be getting off the interstate and taking the time to meet these people, and you have to get out of your car and you have to talk to them.
Well, it's so important to be able to smell the roses, to be able to see what's around the bend. I've always been that way, so to me it comes natural. But yeah, people are so used to being someplace very quick. They're on that expressway. We've got to get them off of there. So we've got to find little gimmicks that's going to draw them off. Unfortunately, the human nature says, what's in it for me? Well, we've got to show, hey, you're going to love it once you're here. And like you just said, some of the best food is out here. Some of the friendliest people. You're not going to find any of that on the interstate. That's not putting them down, but have a nice day, isn't it? Small town people, they're honestly glad to see you. Thanks for stopping in. I hope you enjoyed your pie.
Well, and when they say thanks for stopping in, they really do mean it.
Yes.
Because not everybody stops in. So every person becomes important. John, if you were going to tell folks who are listening in Sacramento, if you were going to inspire them to get out and see a piece or all of this old road, the Mother Road, the Main Street of America, what would you tell them?
You know, when I do trips for small groups, big groups, I don't start out this way. They're there to do 66, and they don't really know what they're doing. Once they get there after a stop or two, then I start saying, see, it's about the people. And the road is nothing in itself. Anybody can drive a road. And it takes you from one town to another town, takes you from one person to another person. Get on the road, stop and talk. It'll take on a life of its own.
Wow, that was fascinating. And then, like we talked about earlier, Mark, it's really about the people.
It really is. It's John has been involved in a lot of restoration projects and thing in this little stretch called the Red Carpet Corridor. And really, if you are going to, if you'd like to travel the old highway and you find yourself in Chicago, you could rent a car and you could travel this stretch of the old road fairly easily. And you know, the one thing about technology is that it brings the highway closer to people. I remember the first time I had to travel that I had to rig a thing in my car with a computer and a map program, and you don't need any of that stuff anymore. Google Maps will show you the route of old 66, and you can travel it very easy. And as John said, it's really an attitude, it's a lifestyle, it's getting out and discovering how people in these small towns in Illinois and Missouri and Oklahoma, where we are now, how do they really live? Because I mean, a couple of days ago, Tom, I was standing in Mickey Mantle's in the yard where he grew up, and feeling the ruts on the side of the metal garage where he threw a baseball when he was growing up. And I'm a huge baseball fan, so there wasn't a lot of technology involved there, but it sure was a lot of fun, and it sure meant a lot to me.
Well, you know, people don't really, unless you experience it, don't really realize that these historical places, at least I believe this to be true, there are spirits, there are ambience, there is energy that you can pick up vibes of when you're near that, whether it's at the Rock and Roll Museum and you're next to a Jimi Hendrix guitar, or you're right there where Mickey Mantle put dents in his mom and dad's garage door. Well, where do we go next?
We are going to go to, I wanted to pick out a small town along the route and talk to someone there who promotes the small town. So I picked Miami, Oklahoma, which coincidentally it's spelled like Miami. Well, when those Native Americans were in the Carolinas, and when they were marched off of their land, a few of them ended up in Florida, pronounced Miami, Miami, and a lot of them ended up in Oklahoma, where Miami became Miami. And we are going to go to Miami, Oklahoma, right after this break on Route 66.
Tom, I'm with Amanda Davis, who is the executive director, the grand poobah of tourism in Miami, Oklahoma. And welcome to the Travel Guide.
Yeah, thanks for having us. We're so excited you guys are here in Oklahoma with us right now.
We are, Tom, sitting in the historic Coleman Theater in downtown Miami. And this theater is really kind of a special thing. We've been coming here with our groups for 20 years. We watched them restore it. And now it truly is one of the most beautiful movie houses, show houses of its type anywhere in the country. Certainly in a town of this size. It is really a landmark. And every time I come, it looks a little nicer than it did before. Amanda, you're always out on the road selling Miami, Oklahoma. Or I'm sure you've had it pronounced Miami more times than you would care to. Yeah, and we finally heard the story today about, you know, the Native Americans going south and coming west and how that all happened. So selling Miami, it's a small town. It's fairly nondescript. Its name is spelled like a much bigger city. What are the? How do you do that? What do you sell? How do you make people come here?
You know, it's a challenge. It is. We are right in the corridor of what they call the four states. So we are 15 minutes from Kansas. We're 20 minutes from Missouri. We're 25 minutes from Arkansas. We kind of like to, you know, market ourselves as the gateway into Oklahoma, kind of your first big community that you come in. Obviously, being on Route 66, is a huge draw for us. Huge. A lot of why we have you guys here right now.
Yeah, so yes. We wouldn't be here without it.
One of the biggest challenges is, you know, I've been doing this since 2006. And when I first started and started, you know, being out on the kind of the sales circuit and getting our name out there and really
hustling people like me. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Really talking about the Coleman Theater and everything that we have here that's just so, it's just who we are. People would like schedule appointments with me because they thought I was Florida. So it took me 2 or 3 years where I finally got smart enough to start putting Miami OK Convention and Visitors Bureau to where people understood that. So really getting into destination marketing in the beginning was really, it was our brand and it was is people understanding we were Oklahoma and not Florida. So that was in the beginning. It was a challenge.
What's the population here?
City limits is about 14, a little under 14,000, but we also are the county seat, and that's about 34,000. So most of the people in the small outlining communities, you guys were in Commerce today,
right,
on the Mickey Mantle itinerary, and you guys, those communities and things like that all come and trade here. They all do their business here. They bank here. They shop here. So really, we're 14,000, but we're really about 34,000.
And today we did something really cool. You mentioned Commerce. We were out at Mickey Mantle Field, and the high school team came out there. And so we got to have lunch and see the ball players on the field, the kids. And they're having a pretty good year this year.
They are.
And that was really a lot of fun. And to go to Mickey Mantle's house. And there are a lot of attractions around here. You have to be an off-the-beaten-track person.
Yes.
No question about that. But the hotel rates are very reasonable here, and the food rates and stuff like that. This is a really inexpensive place to travel to.
Yeah, and we really like to promote ourselves that way. You know, Sherry is our sales coordinator, and she's out a lot, too, doing, you know, different market shows and marketplaces. I think the thing that we like to pride ourselves in is we are very hands-on. When we talk to people and we're working with tour operators, we want them to understand we're going to be right here beside you guys. You can go to the big cities and you can drive through and you're probably maybe not always going to see somebody from those communities that's out making sure that everything's going okay with your group. So really hospitality and customer service are the things that we really, we want tour operators to leave here and be like, gosh, you know what? They really cared that we had a good trip because you're going to leave here and you're going to run into somebody else coming through Oklahoma. And the word of mouth for us is, you know, we're a very, I say we're a small DMO, but we're a part of our city government. So we've been very blessed to be able to have some general funds from our city because they understand tourism is the industry.
Now you have about 5,000 people probably in Sacramento, California, and thereabouts listening to you here. What would you like to tell them that would entice them to perhaps put this area on their list?
I think it's what we love to say is that we are off the beaten path, but this is different. This is unique. This isn't something that you can just get in a car. You can't go somewhere. We're, you know, here in a few minutes, your group's going to get the pleasure of listening to our house organist that just happens to be here this weekend play a Wurlitzer organ that was built in 1929 for a theater built in 1929 that we're setting in. We're going to celebrate our 90th birthday here at the Coleman Theater next year. So this is just such a jewel. You know, if your listeners, if they love old history and they read a lot of old books and they hear them talk about the crown of Route 66, it's the Coleman Theater. So it's really, it's just such an awesome thing for us. You know, the whole Route 66 thing, we have so many visitors that come into the visitor center down here where we're at the Coleman, and they're looking for publications or they're looking for magazines. And a lot of them, some of them have their trips planned in advance. They know exactly where they're going. They are on a set schedule. But you have some that's really going to jump in the car in Sacramento, and guess what? They're just going to drive.
Yeah.
And we love that. We love to find out, okay, where were you yesterday? Where are you going tomorrow? You know, what's on your, let us help you a little bit. So I think what you get here is you get to experience some really just old school, kind of old country. You know, Oklahoma has more Route 66 miles than any other state.
We will put a link to Miami, Oklahoma, on at travelguysradio.com. So if you're curious and you would like to know a little bit more about this destination and the Coleman Theater, we'll put a link to the Coleman Theater there, since Sports Leisure Vacations has a seat with a plaque on it somewhere. That's in awesome. This theater. So it is such a joy to be here tonight. And I just have to tell you that every time we pull up in front of the Coleman, when we come through here every 4 or 5 years, it's like, it's not the only place on the old highway that feels this way. The old store in Riverton and the ladies with the cars and all day today was like that. To me, it's one big reunion, because I've been coming out here for a while now, and I know the people who are out here, and every time we come, there are a few that aren't here that were here before.
Yeah.
But there's always a few new ones.
There is. And, you know, I think one thing that I would say that we do really good in this region is that we all promote each other. You don't know when you're crossing over from Kansas to Oklahoma or from Missouri to Kansas.
And you know, one thing I want to say is that that's the right thing to do, because travelers don't care what county or what state.
Yeah.
They only care if they're having a good, they care more about how much the hotel costs and whether the room is clean than what state that they're in. Amanda, thank you for sharing a little bit. I wanted to make sure that we got a small town that was representative of the route. So Miami is that town. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you. We hope you guys enjoy your stay.
Mark, I have to ask you, you mentioned that you have a plaque on one of the seats in the theater. How did that come about?
Well, when we're out on the highway, every time we're here, we try to support, it's kind of the philanthropic nature of Sports Leisure Vacations. We try to give back on a regular basis, and so when we're out on the old highway, we pick a couple of places and we make donations. In one of the trips, the Coleman Theater was the recipient. We put a plaque on a seat. We buy bricks. We get our name on the wall on a list. On this particular trip, we donated to a small museum in Galena, Kansas. And we also made a contribution to the high school baseball team in Commerce, Oklahoma, Mickey Mantle's hometown, because they came out and practiced for us on the field the other day and gave us some players on the ball field. So that was kind of cool. So we made a donation there. So it's a regular occurrence. When we're out on the road, we're always trying to make things a little bit better for our next trip.
All right, we've got about 1 minute left. Any final thoughts about Route 66 and your upcoming trip?
Well, just, and this applies to any visit to any small town, but just remember, you know, you go into a big city somewhere and you spend $20 or $40 or $200, nobody might even notice. You go into a small town off the beaten track and you spend $20 or $40 or, in our case, a couple hundred dollars at a restaurant or something like that, people notice and they really appreciate it. So, you know, keep in mind the smaller destinations, the off the beaten track places, because there are a lot of places that are fun to discover. And we are lucky. We are getting to discover some of them on this trip. It's really been a pleasure.
Well, outstanding. We are the Travel Guys. One last thought, by the way. Live in concert, the Beatles' 51st anniversary of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. Let's see. Sacramento Preparatory Music Academy artist director Benjamin J. McClara has painstakingly transcribed it, and it will be performed in your area soon.
All right. Well, Thomas, you have a good week, and dance like nobody's watching.
We'll see you next time. We are the Travel Guys. Bye for now.